We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the NOQ Report, the NOQ Report. I'm your host, JD Rucker, and unfortunately, I am not joined by my lovely, brilliant, talented, and exceptionally patriotic co-host and wife. I know she made a guest appearance on the last episode. It was really exciting. I didn't even want that episode to end. It was just so much fun, you know, having her back, even if it's only virtually. It's you know, I really feel for the people who are separated from loved ones because of coronavirus. We're not. So for those who don't know, my wife and I, we are separated by great distance because she has a family member, her mother, who is sick. And as a result, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer. So she's there in Oklahoma helping her with her chemotherapy because she doesn't have anybody else. And, you know, we have a 3-year-old or else I would be right there with her, you know. But a 3-year-old with health conditions who really shouldn't travel either. So hi to Justin from Orlando. Charles, thank you for the affirmation that we are live. Hello to Tina from Jacksonville. Charles is actually from Michigan, watching from the Philippines. So, and I am from the Philippines, broadcasting from California. So we have that in common. And yes, and a lot of people didn't know I am. You know, I may not sound it to the podcast listeners, but I am actually a legal immigrant from the nation of the Philippines. My mother and father brought me here. My dad was, of course, as is so often the case, he was in the Air Force and met my mother while he was at Clark Air Force Base and then brought me here. So, yeah, it's up in the air. I've been told that I'm naturalized. I've been told that I'm natural born. Doesn't matter to me. I was born in the Philippines. I am here now. I am an American citizen. I've been here in the United States since I was 8 months old, and I love this nation. And thank you, Tina, for the prayers for our family. I greatly appreciate that. Speaking of prayers, today's topic is a question of faith versus politics, and in particular, how they pertain and what they do to drive Vice President Mike Pence and what he may or may not do, will or will not do, can or cannot do on January 6th when he presides over a joint session of Congress to count the electors. Tina says her husband is Filipino. Well, that's awesome. There's so many Filipino connections here. You know, there was a time when the relations between the Philippines and the United States were unbreakable, very similar to the relations with Israel or Australia or Great Britain or any of these other countries that have been, you know, on again, off again, really close allies. Sometimes they go against us. Sometimes they're right there with us lockstep. You know, Philippines was one of those nations. And things have gotten a little weird lately. But I think that in the end, they will still be our allies and we will still be theirs. Another one, Roger from Oregon says that his wife is from the Philippines. Wow, that's amazing. Charles says he's 30 minutes from the Air Force Base. He's retired Navy. Well, thank you for your service, Charles. Thank you very much. Lots of Filipino connections. You know, Mike Pence has a Filipino connection. I don't know what it is, but that's my awkward segue back onto topic. Ignoring chat just for a second. Let's get on topic. Let's get on topic. January 6th, the House and the Senate have a joint session where they essentially count and approve the electoral votes to determine who the president-elect is in preparation for the January 20th inauguration. Yeah, and that if you get your news from mainstream media, that may catch you by surprise to hear that, wait, you mean the president-elect is selected on January 6th? We've been told that Joe Biden was president-elect since October by CNN. You know, I think MSNBC called the election back in like March of last year. They didn't know who the nominee was going to be, but they knew it was going to be a Democrat and that the Democrat was going to win. No, the official, it's not even a title, it's just a designation of president-elect, happens after January 6th, after the electoral votes are in. That's when it's official. And that date is important for those of us who look and we see that rampant, widespread, massive voter fraud took place. And that this is the reason that Joe Biden has been being called president-elect. There are still tens of millions of people out there who are either clueless or in denial over the idea that Joe Biden supposedly got over 80 million votes. We know that's not possible. Okay, we know, not just because of common sense, but because of all of the anomalies. Another bombshell dropped today. I haven't actually had a chance to read it fully yet. I will, and I'll be posting it up on Knock Report. But there was a report, apparently a Pennsylvania state legislator was able to go through some of the numbers and determine in Pennsylvania that there were actually 200,000 more ballots cast than there were voters. How is that even possible? Well, we know how it's possible. It's possible through voter fraud. And we as patriots, we want to fight this. We've been fighting it. Many have lost hope. Okay. I know that whenever I say, hey guys, don't lose hope, I see a bunch of replies on Twitter. People saying, oh no, we would never lose hope. There will be no conceding from the president. There will be no losing hope on our end. Trump won. And so we have to continue down that path. And I appreciate that. But then I also see a lot of people who were saying those things in the recent past who aren't saying those things anymore. Now they've kind of changed subject. They're not saying, oh, Joe Biden won, shucks. They're just talking about other things. They're talking about coronavirus. You'll know that when somebody's lost hope, when they've been adamant about voter fraud. Look at the Arizona. They're on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. They're sharing, look at this. The results from Michigan were tainted. And oh my gosh, here's a tweet from Lynn Wood or Sidney Powell or whoever. And then slowly but surely you start noticing, they're not talking about that anymore. They're talking about, lockdowns are terrible, or Joe Biden is thinking about who for this cabinet pick, or, this is ridiculous. How could, look at Raphael Warnock. This guy is a joke. He's not a Christian. How can he be, but they're not talking about voter fraud anymore. We are, okay? Those who watch the show, and I guess I'll just go ahead and say it for those who have not. Whether you've watched the show or not, I'll tell you that from the beginning, I've been at a solid 85 to 90%. I've fluctuated, in a very narrow window of 85 to 90% chance that President Trump will win. I've gone over it multiple times why I'm still so confident. But, for the, the Cliff Notes version, for you youngsters out there, that was before Wikipedia. The Cliff Notes were, that's how we were able to read books without actually reading the whole book. you get the Cliff Notes of this and then you get a smart teacher who was like, okay, so we're going to pull a bunch of questions that you can't find in Cliff's Notes. Anyway, the Cliff's Notes version of why I'm still so confident is this. Number one, we have the truth on our side. We have the truth on our side. We have the truth on our side. And I'm not ready to believe that the truth cannot and will not prevail, no matter how big the opposition. We know the opposition is huge. We know that mainstream media, big tech, Democrats, at least half, if not more, of the Republicans in office. We know they're all against us. We know that they're the hands of the tentacles, I should say, of George Soros, the Chinese Communist Party, Iran, other foreign actors are involved. I've contested that this could be an example of Ephesians 6:12, the powers and principalities that we're fighting. And I've said from the beginning, even before the election, that President Trump will win, with the one possible exception that if powers and principalities are truly behind this, in other words, if this is demonic, then no, we probably won't win unless God moves. Either way, whether it's demonic or not, if God moves in our direction, if God wills it to happen, then we will win no matter what they do, no matter how big the opposition is, no matter how bad the odds are. God's will is sovereign. It is supreme. Charles says they've all been banned and lost sites that they built. I'm not sure which, what he's referencing. I don't know if he's talking about the people who were, you know, pro-Trump before, but now they've gotten banned. There have been a lot, but yeah, I still see them tweeting and talking about other things, posting other things on Facebook, websites, talking about anything other than the election. Okay. Anything other than the election. Now, there's a reason. Yeah. It's sad. I've been reading a lot of the postmillennial.com. Okay. It's a conservative site out of Canada. It is a sad testament to the state of conservative media in the United States that some of the best commentary, some of the most accurate news reporting from a right-leaning perspective about the United States comes from Canada. Okay, I'm not, no offense to any of my Canadian friends, I'm not ripping on you guys, but it's just that such things shouldn't be. Okay, I've talked about the Daily Caller before. I've talked about Washington Examiner, how they jumped ship and abandoned so early. We all know what happened with Fox News. We've all seen what's happened over the last 4 years with Drudge. Okay, but then you still have these other sites that are quietly just avoiding it, just like the people I mentioned on social media before. You see conservative sites that are out there talking about anything. Okay, they'll bring up any topic. They'll write ad nauseum about anything to try to maintain conservative credibility, but they won't talk about voter fraud, even when news breaks about it, even when it's clear and apparent. They just don't want to fight anymore. I don't, and I shouldn't assume what their motives are. Maybe they have different reasons. Maybe they're being pressured by the Chinese Communist Party, which happens a lot. Okay, we did get some quote-unquote pressure from the Chinese Communist Party long before the election. This was back during the trade war days. Remember that? When that was the big story out of China, was the trade war, the trade deals with China. Now it's all about election interference and the Wuhan flu and all that stuff. Well, back in the days when there was, when the discussion was about trade talks, I was receiving certain, you know, very discreet but obvious pressure from, you know, proxies, we'll say, of the Chinese Communist Party, who were trying to influence the way the Knock Report was reporting. And that was fun. Needless to say, we didn't listen to them. Robert says that he's watching from Sierra Leone and praying for you guys. Thank you. God does definitely always win, just as Trump did. Hello to Markia from Virginia. Hope Tammy's mom is doing well. She just had her first round of chemo today. So it's going to be 5 days a week for the next at least 6 weeks. So yes, prayers and prayers. Poor girl, I was going to have her on tonight, but she has to wake up at like four in the morning or something like that. Rule of law will guide Pence. What's his alternative? A coup? LOL. James English. Yes, we have a dissenter in our midst. No fraud, no proof, no vision. Of course, you can't see fraud if you stick your head in the sand. These are the same people that will watch the Georgia video, watch them literally taking the same ballots on video, taking them from the bottom of the counter, putting them back in through the machine, running it through again inexplicably and completely ignored by mainstream media. If you get your news from CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox News, you're right. There was no voter fraud, okay, because, you know, reasons. Charles says the people losing hope if they mention the election, they're shadow banned, and warning them they were going to be permanently banned. Censorship is so crazy. You're right. You know, and maybe that's the key. Maybe I just need to go talk more on Parler. I've been off and on with Parler. Okay. I like Parler. I do. You can find me there at JD Rucker. You know, it has some challenges. Okay. I'm not going to lie. It has some challenges that I'm not quite fully on board there yet. I hate Facebook. I hate Twitter, but I still use them. I don't use Facebook that much, actually, but Twitter, I'm on there every day. I need to shift. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a hypocrite. Oh, Twitter sucks. There's some, the censorship sucks over at Twitter. And well, let me tweet about it. You know, yeah, hypocrisy. Okay. If it is clear and apparent, then it should have been shown in a court of law. Nope, because crap, right? So that's Gary in Trump land. Yes, thank you. Welcome, Gary in Trump land. That's, you know, that's one way of looking at it, that it should have been proved out in the court of law. Then again, the other way of looking at it is that it has not had a chance to be proved out in a court of law. Why? Because judges, generally speaking, don't want to get in what they consider to be other branches, you know, the challenge that they're seeing. Plus, let's face it, you know, if there's one thing we've learned over the last, you know, couple of weeks, it's that the quote unquote, the Republican Party, most of them, and I'm not talking about the voters, I'm talking about the people in office, whether they're, you know, so-called conservative judges or, you know, so-called Republican congressmen or Republican senators, they're all complicit. They hate Trump. They've always hated Trump. They just pretended to like him. Now they think that he's gone. Now that they think he's on his last leg, they're okay with quietly distancing themselves. And we've seen, you know, again, just as a general blanket statement to anyone listening, if you say, okay, that you've examined the evidence that has been put forth, that you've read the reports, that you've looked at, for example, the Antrim County forensic audit, that you've seen the affidavits, the over now 1,000 sworn affidavits, you've watched the videos, you've seen what we claim to be the evidence. If you see all this, and then you come in here and say there was no voter fraud, then I don't even know how you're capable of being on this technology, because you're clearly not smart. But if you're like most, if you haven't looked at the evidence, but you're just like, hey, judges have thrown it out for technicalities, not because of the evidence, but judges have thrown it out over standing or over timing or over politics or, you know, but I haven't actually looked at the evidence. I just know that, you know, I just regurgitate what CNN says. There's no voter fraud. If you're one of those people, then no, you're not necessarily stupid, but you're at least, I don't know, questionably motivated. And what are you doing on here anyway? It's like, shouldn't you be watching like Rachel Maddow? I think she's on right now, right? I don't even know. No case have been dismissed due to lack of evidence. Okay, great. Good. Good. Good idea. Good. Good for you. Again, if you're, and I know that I don't want to rip on somebody for the delay, because I know there's a delay from what I see and what I read on the screen. The screen comes in at me fast. There's probably a few seconds delay. But again, you know, if you're citing that stuff, okay, you probably also, you know, you believe that the courts that did various things, such as say that OJ, you know, OJ was innocent, okay, or, you know, the courts that signed all of those affidavits, the FISA courts that are not affidavits, they signed the warrants to spy on people. They were all right. They were okay. You know, the American citizens are not. You probably also think, oh, you know, the Mueller investigation that yielded nothing. You probably still think that Mueller found so much. Mueller's going to save us, you know, or that impeachment, the conversation about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, that's now obviously, you know, we tie together what happened last year with impeachment versus what's happening now, what we're learning about Burisma. You probably haven't read that or seen that because you're watching CNN. Too many people. Too many people doing too many silly, silly things. Yes, as Charles says, the courts won't even look at the evidence. Trump needs to buy a news company and start releasing all the proof. It's impossible for people to deny. It is. I mean, again, I have yet to meet a single. I have not seen one person who says, yes, here's how this piece of evidence is debunked, or here's how that piece of evidence is debunked. There's been three attempted debunkings. All three of them, well, two of the three were by lead stories. As far as like the Georgia video, for example, they were horrendous. Okay. I mean, they were, well, you can't really tell, you know, it's possible that at this angle that she was pulling from the bottom of the tray, but there was actually ballots that, you know, you couldn't see anywhere else in the video that magically appeared. You know, kind of like if they scooted over from a certain angle and you couldn't, you know, perhaps on their own, or maybe they were on top of like a remote control car or something. They were able to get in front of the ballots that she had just put in the machine and ran through and picked up and put back into the machine to run through again. Okay. The remote control car theory. That's the one. That's, you know, nobody ever debunks it. They're always like, the courts won't look at it. Okay. Or the courts throw it out. 174,000 courts have already thrown out everything. There was no voter fraud. Look, if you want to debate the evidence, please. Okay, let's talk about the evidence. If you want to say there is no evidence, you're stupid. If you want to say, you know, I don't believe the evidence because courts have thrown it out, you're ignorant. If you say you haven't even cared to look at the evidence, poor people. Back to Pence. You're right. I need to get back onto Pence. Does Pence have the power to overturn the results on January 6th? Yes and no. Okay, so that's a great question from Michael. Does he have the power to do anything on January 6th? The Constitution is ambiguous about it. It really is. You know, and there have been, you know, there was a lawsuit filed today. It's funny how it's worded because it was technically against Mike Pence, but that's, you know, it was to overturn the 18, I forgot what it was, the election act that basically establishes his role as ceremonial. But the Constitution, again, at the end of the day, the Constitution is what we go by. And the Constitution does not have, you know, a set recourse for the vice president, or technically speaking, the president of the Senate, which is how Mike Pence will be acting on January 6th. He will be the presiding officer over the joint session of Congress. He will be acting as the president of the Senate. Now, there is precedent to this, though, back in 1960. And the funny part was, is that in an effort to not set precedent, then Vice President Richard Nixon kind of did set precedent. He accepted the alternative electors, not the electors for him, oddly enough, because he was running. He accepted the electors for John F. Kennedy from Hawaii. The initial certified electors from Hawaii were for Richard Nixon. But lawsuits, recounts, people contesting the results, they were able to put forth an alternative set of electors, just as has happened in seven states this year. Seven states have sent alternative electors. Alternate electors, separate from the Biden electors. These are Trump electors. Now, that precedent that Richard Nixon set basically established two things. Number one, that the president of the Senate, as the presiding officer, has the power to select which electors should be counted. And this is the important part. This action that he took was not contested by anyone. He took the action unilaterally, and nobody protested. They didn't like it. Okay, the people that wanted him to be president, the Republicans, they didn't like it, but they abided by that. And that's important. Okay, so let's be very clear. People talk about precedent all the time. Precedent doesn't technically exist. Okay, precedent is a new entry into our law books. Yes, it's old, but it's not old in the United States. It's an old premise, but precedent was never supposed to be, at least from the founder's perspective, was never supposed to be a thing. Okay, so in many ways it was inferred, but again, it's not constitutional. You won't find the word precedent in the Constitution. There are reasons for this. It has become more commonplace in the 20th century, now the 21st century. Okay, but I think the first instance of precedence even being applied in the Supreme Court was like the 1940s or something like that. I don't recall exactly. But it was around that time when precedent, but okay, so let's set that aside. Okay, precedence doesn't matter, right? Or does it? We'll assume that practically speaking, it does, because, you know, it's generally accepted now. Again, not legal, but accepted in the judiciary. Well, the precedence has been set. Okay. Vice President Richard Nixon, he used his power as the presiding officer over the joint session of Congress to, you know, as president of the Senate, he picked the alternate electors. Does he have the power? Maybe. Is that ironclad? No. If he does it, will it be challenged? Absolutely. There will be so many lawsuits flying at him. There will be judges who are begging, please bring it to me. I want to strike this down. It will be essentially what a lot of people have feared, which is a constitutional crisis. And maybe that's exactly what we need. Maybe we do need to take a closer look at this. Because our goal, our oath as Americans, is to defend the Constitution. And yet we've seen the majority of people, of elected officials at the state and national level, especially on Capitol Hill, neglect this oath. Voter fraud, I mean, at the very least, Senate should have said from the very beginning, whoa, this is odd. We need to look into this. That should have been established November 8th or 9th at the latest. We were covering on November 6th, Dominion. We were covering, you know, when the first batch from Antrim County, coincidentally, Antrim County, Michigan, when the first batch of clearly manipulated votes were discovered, that's when it should have been, hold on, everybody hit the brakes. Let's take a close look at this. And we were wondering why. We were like, why isn't this happening? Okay. Are they just expecting the Trump campaign to do all the work? You know, are they not the Senate? Are they not Congress? Did they not swear an oath to defend the Constitution? Is voter fraud not a direct attack against the Constitution, against the sovereignty of the United States of America? We were wondering, and then of course we quickly realized, oh, it's because they don't want it to be changed. Mitch McConnell doesn't want President Trump to win. Of course, Nancy, you know, I don't blame Nancy Pelosi. She's a Democrat. If Congress doesn't want to act, why, you know, okay, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. I mean, they should if they're really taking their oath seriously, but you know, I mean, it's their team. Well, I don't expect them to act. Mitch McConnell? Oh, yeah. I expected him to act. Lindsey Graham? Yes, I expected him to act. Oh, but he gave $1 million to the Trump defense team. Psh. Whatever. He's buying indulgences is what he was doing. Paying for his sins. Okay, let's see. We have trolls. We do have trolls. Oh, I love it. Good trolls, too. Donald Trump, this is Yo Jimbo. Donald Trump lost. Effing losey, loser. Get a life, losers. Log off. Okay, good. You know, people ask me why I don't just kick them out. It's because their ignorance shines through. You want them to speak. You want them to look like fools. You want them to step into a man's world or a woman's world, whichever they are, and have to address adult situations with their childishness because they are incapable. Stephen E. Atkins III, my brother. Tammy was telling me that you have a something going on. We got to get on the phone and talk about this stuff, man. Let's see. McConnell was Trump's lapdog. He finally admitted defeat. I'm not sure what that means. McConnell was just a middle manager doing his job and trying to stay alive. Ukraine had their hearings about Joe and Hunter Biden. More people need to watch that to see just how corrupt they are. That's from Justin Krangle. That is true. They did have hearings. This didn't make national news. Of course, it didn't even make national news in Ukraine. Oddly enough, it was Interfax, which is technically a Russian mouthpiece, but that's beside the point. They covered it, and we have to take Ukrainian politics with a grain of salt. It's one thing, you know, if like a U.S. senator comes out and says, you know, I declare this, then a lot of times it's true, a lot of times it's false, but it's based upon at least sanity. With Ukrainian politicians, when they say, look, I was abducted by aliens, they actually mean it, okay? They fully believe that. Tiffany, on YouTube, you know, it's funny, we don't promote our YouTube enough because we hate YouTube, I'll admit it, but we're still there, and we're going to, you know, until they kick us off, okay, we keep getting slapped, so until they kick us off, we will be there. So hello to Tiffany Bruner from YouTube. Funny stuff. Yeah, the dirty bird. All right, So I hope that answers your question. Doug, I know it was basically saying that we don't know for sure, but I'll re-summarize. The question was, does Mike Pence have the power as president of the Senate on January 6th to be able to pick alternate electors? The answer is yes, there's precedent for it from 1960, technically 1961. There's precedent. Okay. Will it be challenged? Yes. And then it goes to the courts, but I'm okay with that. Okay, I'm okay with it getting challenged. I'm okay with it even getting overturned because, again, as I've said for weeks now, you can refer back, I think, to like November 19th or 20th. Sorry, my rambunctious three-year-old is coming by the door. As far back as, you know, last month, maybe it was earlier this month that I really got pushing for. But the idea is this. We need the MOAB. We need the mother of all bombshells. That's what we need. We need the mother of all bombshells, period. You might say, well, we've already seen a bunch of bombshells. I know, but they weren't big enough. Okay. The enemy is buried deep, deep, deep underground. We need bigger bombshells. We need one big one. You know, is it the SolarWinds server? Could be. It could be that. Could be whistleblowers. So many possibilities, so many ways this can swing in our direction, but that's what we need. And whether Pence does have the power or not, if it gets challenged, at least it's a delay. And that's kind of what we need right now. We need as much time as possible because this is in God's hands. Now, how God manifests what's going to happen, that's up to him. I don't know his plan. Okay. He is sovereign. He is all powerful. I just here to report on it when it happens and to remind people to keep looking for it. Now, that's not to say I don't want to, please don't take that to say, oh, you know, I believe that, you know, God is definitely going to do this. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know if he, you know, for all I know, he wants Biden to win. Okay. Maybe this is the end times. Maybe this is the beginning and you know, hey, let's get Armageddon rolling. Let's get Biden in there. Maybe this is all, you don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. We'll see. But I do believe that God, generally speaking from the Bible, does like to side with the truth, and the truth is on our side. The truth is that Joe Biden, or proxies for him, or a combination of the two, or proxies outside of the United States, or whoever, this vast conspiracy, they're the reason that an old, Caucasian, straight, extremely rich, lifetime politician, allegedly is much, much more popular than Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton. More popular than Donald Trump or Barack Obama. I mean, you Democrats, you adore this guy. Wow. This guy, at least according to the numbers, you know, this guy represents you through and through. This corrupt man, this man who is incarcerated, directly participated in the incarceration of more people of color than any American alive. Joe Biden's participation in the incarceration of people of color in the United States is unmatched. There is no living American who has jailed more black people than Joe Biden. He's your guy. He is your guy. James English asks, Trump is corrupt. You okay with that? I'm not okay with any corruption. Okay? No, of course not. But don't throw whataboutisms at me. Keep in mind, this isn't about tribalism. In 2018, when it was clear, to me at least, that there was voter fraud in the state of North Carolina, I was there calling for the Supreme Court to overturn that election. Republicans had won, but apparently they had cheated. It wasn't because I was cheering for the Democrats. It was because I defend the Constitution. That's what I do. Okay? Don't say, oh, but Trump is corrupt. Are you okay with Trump's corruption? No, I don't like certain things about Trump. I don't worship any individual. Will I take Trump over Biden? Duh. Of course. The vast majority of Americans would. Just don't listen to the election numbers because they're fraudulent. There are no stupid questions. There are no stupid questions. Sage, you know, you may be right. There's another, and again, from YouTube, amazingly, Sage Antone, I hope I pronounced that right, says, convinced that trolls who follow conservative podcasts are purchased bots via the CCP. Yeah, very, very possible. Very likely, as a matter of fact. You know, I mean, and I've said it before. It's like, how do these people have, I mean, is this is what they do? I mean, this is what they do? They go troll? Is this their fun? No, they have to be paid. Okay, that's why they come on here and make stupid comments. If they weren't trolls, I promise you, if somebody really wants to get into an intellectual debate or debate the merits, debate the evidence, then they'll throw out. We have had those, by the way. Okay, we have had those. I wish there's one in particular. I wish you'd show up. Okay, we've had some non-trolls, not some actual opposition. They're throwing out valid points. No, not like this crap. This is terrible. I deserve better trolls, folks. I really do. I think I try hard. I want strong, intelligent, you know, non-bottish trolls. I should get those. I get them on Twitter sometimes. It's pretty amazing. Didn't used to. So then the next question would be, if Vice President Pence doesn't act, is that the end? No, that's not the end. Again, we go back to the Moab. It doesn't matter whether, you know, do I want Pence to act? Absolutely. Like I said, that buys us more time. This is going to be a great story. Great story for our kids and grandkids and great grandkids, Lord willing. Say, man, that 2020 election, that was crazy. You know, we thought we were going to lose. And then all of a sudden, you know, God did this and Mike Pence did that. And, you know, boom, we won, you know, or, you know, the alternative is, man, that's, we tried everything we could. You know, we even, there was contested election and Mike Pence did this. And all of a sudden, you know, and then within a month, we were all out on the streets with guns. It's crazy. It's crazy. Steve says, I can pretend if you want. You want to debate me? Come on, bro. Let's debate. No. No, I do want to. I do need to just focus on the important stuff here. What are the other possibilities? Let's say Pence doesn't act. Let's say that Joe Biden becomes the vice president or the president-elect. Does that mean it's definitely over? Folks, no. Okay, no. The reason I keep going back to the Moab to me represents a piece of evidence that is so unquestionable that not even mainstream media can cover it up. It's so blatant that even big tech has to stop putting out their stupid little disclaimers about, you know, this post is whatever. I've had those. They bug me to death. It's like, I didn't say anything that was fraudulent. Whatever. You know, so big that Democrats have to say, wow, yeah, we're busted. We have a choice. We can either try to fight this, in which case it looks like we're guilty as well, or we just say, oh my gosh, we had no idea. You know, heaven forbid there was cheating. Well, I guess we're just going to have to punish Joe and Kamala and whoever else was involved. That's the kind of evidence we need. We need the type of evidence so big, so unambiguous, so blatant, so unavoidable. We need the mother of all bombshells. Again, like I said, with SolarWinds servers, whistleblowers, videos, you know, I mean, it could be a combination of things. There are people that are searching for it right now. And if they find it, we'll know. At this point, if they haven't found it, then whatever gets found going forward, that's God's will, folks. That's a miracle. Because, you know, we shouldn't even be contesting this anymore. At this point, it should be like, oh, well, you know, this sucks. You know, as Andrew Breitbart once said, you know, it's just, F you, man. War. You know, we should be at that stage, but we're not, because we still have faith, because we still have hope that this is going to work itself out in the end. And there are fewer and fewer of us every day, which is a good thing. Okay. It's kind of, I know people are like, wait, no, it's not good for people to lose hope. Well, yeah, it kind of is. God has moved in that direction many times. I've said at least four or five different podcasts about the story of Gideon, but I see newer people in there now, just really quick, throw it out there again. Gideon, you know, was told to go gather the armies of Israel together and take out the Midianites. He got all the tribes together, got 32,000 men. God said, that's too many, you know. Even though the Midianites had hundreds of thousands of men, You know, God said, 32,000, that's still too many. You know, you think that it was your all's doing. So let's whittle that down. Send home anybody who doesn't want to be here. If they don't want to fight, send them home. So Gideon asked them, who doesn't want to fight? 22,000 raised their hand, they leave. So he's down to 10,000. God's like, it's still too many. Still a chance. You guys might think, you know, those Israeli generals or those Hebrew fighting men or the better swords or great strategy or something else that men did brought the victory when it comes. So he did something really weird. He said, take them down to the river, have them drink water. Anyone who laps up the water like a dog, puts their head down to their face down to the water and starts lapping up like a dog, that's your army. And there's only 300 of them out of 10,000. It's kind of weird that 300 would even do that. You know, you put your, anyway. sorry. I got to stop. Stop reading the chats. Sorry, he distracts me. So with 300 men, you wonder, did they have hope? They probably had faith. They trusted that Gideon was doing the will of the Lord. So they trusted they would win. And they did. And that made the story much better. Because again, with only 300 men, with very few that thought that it was possible, God was able to deliver them. And he didn't deliver them by like saying, okay, Midianites, I'm going to crush you and give them credit. He still let the Midianites do the work. Okay. Miracles aren't necessarily, they don't come from the, I mean, not the Midianites, he still let the Israelis do the work. Okay, miracles don't come as just a snap of the finger, you know. They can, I'm not saying they don't, but they don't always. Sometimes the miracles come, the movement of God, God's will can manifest through us. And generally speaking, it does. So that's why I'm okay with people losing hope. I'm not going to sit here and try to cheer you up. I've told you many times how I feel. I think that he's going to win. I think that President Trump is going to win in the end. I've given you reasons why. And now I'm going to explain once and for all how that manifests. To me, it manifests with the Moab, the mother of all bombshells. Because just because Pence does, if he were to act on January 6th, if he were to pick the alternate set of electors in, say, three or four of the states, it will be challenged. And that challenge will probably be, you know, if we haven't seen movement based on the evidence now, just because Mike Pence does his thing doesn't mean that they won't be able to challenge it. It doesn't. There's nothing set in stone. Even on January 20th, technically speaking, okay, there's a scenario that I've played out. I'm not going to express it now, but there's a scenario that I've played out in my head that where voter fraud fully exposed could actually yield a Trump second term after January 20th. Again, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to go down that road. But anyway, not yet. I will. Lord willing, I won't have to because we'll get this all wrapped up. I mean, man, it's so stressful. So much anxiety, right? Not really. It's all kind of fun. It is. Chat's heating up. Ignoring it. Oh, anyway, yeah. So let's say after January 6th, he doesn't. Let's say on January 6th, he does not pick the alternate electors. You know what then? If the Moab drops, there's still, the courts can still act. Okay. Lawsuits can still, I mean, you know, the judiciary branch is supposed to be the weakest. Well, in 2020 and 2021, the judiciary branch, especially the Supreme Court, been gone completely unchallenged and has been for decades, which means that they have primacy. Should they? No, not by any means, but they do. And if there is this Moab, this ultimate bombshell of evidence against the Democrats, against Joe Biden, against George Soros, the Chinese Communist Party, against whoever, okay, that drops even after the 6th, they can change the results of the election. They can remedy the situation, and perhaps they would. I think that would be less likely than if, you know, every day the Moab has to get bigger, okay? The Moab that was necessary 2 weeks ago wouldn't work today. And maybe still work today, but we need something big. We need something huge. So that brings us to the million-dollar question. Is Pence going to take the political angle, or is he going to follow his faith? And it really is, I mean, this is the partition that he's faced with. This is his dilemma. From a political perspective, okay, he will be a pariah if he were to do this, if he were to do the quote unquote right thing and pick alternate electors based upon the evidence that we've seen today, he will be, I mean, he will be more hated than Dick Cheney, if you can possibly believe that. Okay. He will be, called the worst names. They will be calling for him to be jailed. They will be trying to destroy him. Okay. He will be the ultimate enemy. They will hate him almost as much as they hate President Trump. If Mike Pence were to do this from a political perspective, it doesn't make very much sense at all. Okay. His career will be over, period. Even though some could make the argument that if he were to do it, even if they lose, then he's the front runner for the 2024 presidential nomination. But that's a whole other discussion. Whole other discussion. Yeah, politically speaking, and we've always known that Mike Pence he's kind of a, you know, he's a smart guy, but he's a relatively tame guy. Okay, he doesn't take chances. The few times that he has taken chances in the past, need I remind you of his history in Congress? It's funny when I say, you know, he was a congressman for like 12 years. Really? I had no idea. Yeah, it's because he didn't do much, but he did. He was popular in Indiana. He did run for governor. He was a successful governor there to some extent. But I mean, even there, he caved when it came to the whole bathroom issue. I don't want to bring back old memories, but you know, generally speaking, he's not exactly, you know, a rah-rah guy. He's not the kind of guy that takes huge chances that put his career in jeopardy. Even when he endorsed, people forget, in 2016, he endorsed Ted Cruz. Even during his Ted Cruz endorsement, though, he was saying nice things about President Trump, which is why Trump ended up picking him. Okay, if he had just endorsed, if he'd stuck to his guns and been principled, politically principled, and said, you know, Ted Cruz is my guy, I'm going to support him, you know, and Donald Trump, if he had done that, he wouldn't be vice president, okay? And he would probably not be governor. He would, you know, guys, bottom line is this, that Mike Pence does things that are generally, you know, milquetoast. He does things that are politically expedient for him. He doesn't like to take big risks, except for the fact that he is a man of faith. And one can argue that we have not had a more faith-oriented, biblically-oriented vice president in decades, maybe longer. Mike Pence reads his Bible, and he tries to live from a biblical perspective. And the Bible is very clear about liars. In many cases, liars are called out more so than even murderers. To lie is very, very, very bad. To support a lie is equally bad from a biblical perspective. And if he were to take these electors for Joe Biden from Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada. If you were to take these electors, there was one more. I forgot one. Somebody put in the chat. Which one am I forgetting? There's seven. Let's see. Did Minnesota? Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, and come on, people. Was it Minnesota? I don't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter. He only needs three of them, three or four, depending upon which combination. If he were to take the alternate electors from those, or if he weren't, I'm sorry, if he were to take the Biden electors from all those states, then he would be supporting a lie. Okay? He cannot. He's too smart and too involved to be like some of our trolls in the chat who say, oh, the evidence has already been, you know, it's all blah, 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 blah. The evidence has not been adjudicated, generally speaking. Some of it has. Most of it has not. Okay. Most of it has not. Not the evidence. The Texas case. Okay. The Texas case that was dropped by the Supreme Court over standing. Again, we talked in the beginning how standing doesn't even technically exist. Whatever. It was dropped over standing. It wasn't dropped over merits. They didn't hear anything. They didn't see any of the evidence whatsoever. And some have argued that the Department of Justice should take that suit and run with it. In other words, the United States of America should sue Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. They could. We will see. They probably won't because, you know, but they could. Lots of things can still happen, folks. This isn't over. So back to the question. Does Mike Pence do the politically expedient thing? Or does he do the biblically correct thing? He cannot support a lie. And the results of the 2020 election thus far, as they've been proclaimed publicly, are lies. President Trump won this election fair and square in a landslide. This is why. You know, people, the one thing that I just cannot get over is when people say, oh, you know, there was no voter fraud. Okay, so why is it that these contested states, these contested areas, the ones that were, the four that were absolutely positively necessary, had to go inexplicably in Joe Biden's direction by massive numbers, unprecedented numbers? He had to outperform Obama in these four areas dramatically, tremendously, in order to win. Why is it those are the four that all stopped counting at approximately the same time and all got surges of votes within the same hour? If you don't see anything at all wrong with that, if you see nothing questionable about that, then you really are a fool. And as there was a Rutgers professor who did the math on it, it was like one in the odds of that are one in four quadrillion. In other words, you'd have a better chance of winning the lottery twice in the same day. Different lotteries. I'm not saying the same lottery. I'm saying, anyway, whatever. You get the idea. Sage says it's New Mexico. Was it New Mexico? Could have been. It doesn't matter. I mean, again, we need a combination of three or four, depending on which states they are. And that's what we need. So is Mike Pence going to do the politically expedient thing, or is he going to follow his biblical heart? The biblical heart tells him he must not abide by a lie. He must not support it. Okay. He must not allow it. He must fight it. And let's not forget his constitutional oath, his vice presidential oath to defend the Constitution. That is their number one oath they swear, which is why I rip on all these senators that are fighting, you know. Well, but you got Mitch McConnell and John Thune saying, it's, you know, it's politically speaking, it just makes more sense if we just fight the continue to fight, you know, after the election, and you know, we fight against. No, your oath was not to make the politically expedient strategic move. Your oath was to defend the Constitution. Your oath was not to say, oh, it's going to be hard. Your oath was to fight or die trying. That's what an oath is. And you're breaking it, Mitch McConnell. You're breaking it, John Thune. You're breaking it, every single senator who does not say this election is contested. We want to debate it. We want the truth. The question is Mike Pence a Mitch McConnell, or is he a Mo Brooks? Is he a Louis Gohmert? Is he a Tommy Tuberville? Or is he just a Mike Pence? Mike Pence, a man of biblical conviction. Mike Pence, a man who understands the Constitution very clearly. Mike Pence, a person who has within his powers the ability to take a chance, at least, at saving the United States of America. Which is he? Which is he? Simone asks, is Pence the last chance? Again, no. Supreme Court still has primacy. It's not right, okay? Judicial supremacy should not be a thing, but it has been. The Constitution makes it relatively clear that you have two co-equal branches of government, the legislative branch and the executive branch, and you have a slightly less powerful judiciary branch, which is The judiciary branch is basically a referee. Okay, that's what they were supposed to be. But instead, you know, they have been given primacy. We have judicial supremacy in the United States, and as a result, yes, it is possible if a Moab drops, if somebody drops a video, you know, of Joe Biden sitting there with Kamala and George Soros, and they're saying, okay, so you're a Dominion guy, you think that he can really do this? Okay, is that possible? And Kamala's like, and George Soros is like,
I've got this under control.
Gosh, I do such terrible impersonations, but you get the idea. No, I'm not going to cackle again. Not going to happen. So, yeah, if that video drops, Supreme Court can act. They can't act unilaterally without prompting, but trust me, there will be prompting. Okay. Again, the Moab is just so bold, so huge that if whatever it is, if it comes, it will be something that there will be no questions. God does not act with doubts. Okay. That's why, you know, would have been a miracle if he went in with 10,000 men and beat hundreds of thousands without shedding a single drop of blood. That would have been a miracle. But he said, you know what? I'm God. I can do it with 300. And could he have done it with one? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he needs somebody to tell the story, right? Okay, yeah. I could get stuck in the comments all day. The bottom line is this. If Mike Pence doesn't act on January 6th, then he's making the politically expedient move. He's making the safe call, and he's not the person I thought he was. If he acts, then he's making he's making a move from his heart. You know, will it bring heat, true fire on him and his family? Absolutely. But that's kind of what we signed on to. that's what we signed up for when we became Christians, when we embraced our Bible. And that's what he definitely signed up for when he took his oath of office, when he swore to defend the Constitution. So to Mike Pence, and I know you watch it, Mike, hey, how you doing? I know you watch this show. I know you listen to the podcast. To you, I say this. Do the right thing, man. Do the right thing. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong. Stay safe. God bless.